We'd like to get started with a word from Jerry Swinton, who is the local director of Big Brothers Big Sisters.
I'd like to thank everyone for coming. Us Big Brothers Big Sisters folks started our day at 11 o'clock this morning with a party here for a lot of our Big Brothers and Big Sisters to honor them with their little brothers and little sisters. And I have to tell you that being with this crowd isn't a whole lot different. You all are having just as much fun. The only difference is some of us are a little grayer, maybe a little less hair on top, but I don't know. I was talking about myself, only myself, yeah. But you're obviously, this is a lot of friends here, a lot of old friends, and it's so much fun to see you all. And I cannot thank you enough for your support of Big Brothers, Big Sisters. For those of you who are not from Louisville, Kentucky, you should be proud of what we've accomplished here. A year ago, we were named one of the top three Big Brother, Big Sister agencies in the United States. And thanks to the support of a lot of the people in this room, we have grown from about 800 matches 3 years ago to serving over 1,300 children this past year. So thank you so much for your support. And with your help here this evening, we'll continue to grow. I'm going to turn it over now to Mike Griffin. Thank you.
Hi there. We were really unhappy with John Quincy when he was on a radio interview with Mason Lee, and I don't remember who was there. Alan Bryan was there. He called in and said, these two great radio stations, and I never worked at either one of them. So we contacted a couple of program directors who said they would gladly hire John. And so we have something. We'll let Mason Dixon stand in for Terrell Matheny, Mitch Michael.
Isn't that perfect, Mason Lee Dixon for Mitch Michael? God.
It worked there.
We'll have to give Mitch some drugs when he finds this one out. Except for the fickle finger of fate, Ted Tatman might have been born and raised in or nearer Louisville a few years earlier than he was, and he would have been able to listen to and love, quote, one of America's great radio stations, end quote, during his formative years. Except for the fickle finger of fate, young Ted, now known as John Quincy, might have awakened mornings listening to the unique voice and humor of not only Louisville's greatest, but America's greatest morning radio personality whose ride didn't pick him up tonight, the Duke of Louisville, Bill Bailey, on Radio WKLO. Young Teddy would have skipped school to be exposed to the genius of the Chucker, Chuck Browning, who could express the most feeling with the fewest words of any air personality ever to make love to listeners through the airwaves. Sure, that's what they all say. No doubt, Ted would have hung on every word and phrase from other magnificent air personalities who made Radio WKLO great. Lee Gray, Carl Truman Wigglesworth, Charlie Knox, quote, Rickshaw, unquote, Wild Willie, Jim Fletcher, Jack Sorby, Jack Gallo, John Fantini Gray, Dale Reeves, Bill Clark, Jim Schneider, John Rode, and Al Risen. Anybody? All stand. To prepare for news radio that was yet to come, young Theodore would have been exposed to the radio journalistic expertise of Alan Bryan, Bones Henry, John Sharp, Reed Yaden, Ken Knight, Jack Thurston, J. Paul Roberts, and Tom Maxedon. If he was a good contest player, he might have won a seat on the 1965 Beatle bus to Chicago, hosted by Englishman Ken Douglas, who teamed with the then young and later legendary Johnny Randolph. Come on. My God. Whew. Yes. And young Kevin Matheny, as they foresaw and dreamed of their future in radio. It's difficult to even imagine how the life of John Quincy might have turned out had he been able to experience the valuable influence of Radio WKLO instead of being forced to listen to that other station, which, and I'm having to read this, that psychiatric experts might classify as extreme child abuse and today would more than likely be forbidden as inhuman torture for captured Taliban terrorists. I hope his memos weren't as long as this thing is. We live in a world of woulda, coulda, shouldas, and nothing can really change what has already been inflicted on young Ted. But perhaps in a very small way, those of us who were honored to be part of the Radio WKLO team of the 60s and 70s can share just a bit of that inestimable honor and joy by adopting John Quincy into our radio family as the first honorary Radio WKLO personality. On behalf of the WKLO greats mentioned above, along with others who were heard on WKLO and those behind the scenes that made it possible, with our beloved leaders, General Manager Ernie Guttridge, Bernie Thompson, Charles Sawyer, welcome, John. Welcome to the Radio WKLO family. And thank you for keeping alive the memory of WKLO and Wacky, two great radio stations, each made even greater by the competition of the other. Signed, God bless, Terrell Matheny, the Mighty Mitch.
Here we go, Mike. Okay, so Johnny Randolph will stand in for Johnny Randolph.
Notice how he glides. Johnny glides, man.
Given the length of that memo, after you hear Johnny Randolph, you're going to realize why he's a hero.
Exactly right.
Yeah, my whole thing always was, now make it like a Reader's Digest and say a lot in just a few words.
That's it. Thank you. Okay.
There you go. Okay. Like that, huh?
See you later. Thank you. Good night.
By the way, I don't know if Mason said this, but Terrell Matheny had his knee replaced. So he can't be here.
Right. That's right.
He's on drugs when he runs.
That's right. Okay. This is short. It was a time and a place in Louisville radio history. It was a battle between WAKY and WKLO. During this time, dozens of DJs made their way something special. And I lost my place. There have been 15 air personalities from that era who have moved on to positions in the top 10 markets in the United States. This is a record for a city the size of Louisville. It really is. There's one person who never worked in Louisville radio, never lived in Louisville. In fact, he hasn't lived in Kentucky since 1981. Growing up in Lexington, he became a true fan of the Louisville radio scene. And through his tireless efforts, he's keeping WAKY and WKLO alive via the internet. There can only be one honorary Wacky DJ, and I, along with my colleagues, proclaim that to be John Quincy. Yeah. Mike Griffin had the idea, by the way.
Well, actually, Mason wasn't too happy after that WFPL broadcast either.
I see.
Thank you, sir.
So we're going to do a couple of things here. We got this letter. There's a big empty space at the bottom. We're going to ask everyone in the room that worked at either station to sign it. It is going to go under the letterhead of both stations together.
That's a first.
That's a first. And you sign at the bottom. Hopefully we'll get you all on one page, just kind of... Bear in mind, we'd like to do that, but if not, I've got more paper. And the other thing that we have, and we're going to frame it and send it back to him. He doesn't get to keep that today.
Get to frame this jacket here?
Oh. Well, he gets to frame the letter.
Oh.
So we thought he should have an honorary
jacket. And that's a first.
WAKY WKLO number one.
Thank you.
And on the front, John Quincy staff.
Infection.
All right.
Staff infection.
Way to go.
Here's the fun part. It's the hottest night of the year. He has to wear it all night.
And he probably will.
Thank you so much.
Don't wear it to bed.
So let's put the letter over at the T-shirt table, maybe, and you can stop by and sign it. Maybe Max will take care of it for us.
Does this mean it goes back? Does it go? Yeah, way to go, John.
Thank you so much.
So does this mean it goes back to Mason now?
No.
I finished. Gary.
To me.
Gary, it's Gary Burbank time. I'm going to go eat.
All right, go for it. Name everybody else who's prepared. Well, thanks for that rousing, a round of applause. I really do appreciate that. Yeah, my God.
Ladies and gentlemen, Gary Burbank here. Can we all please really give him the clap now?
You know, the 5,826th time I heard that joke. Pardon me, but we can do that here, can't we? We're not on TV, right? Oh, I'm going to talk about Johnny, I guess, as we get to it. I'm not even sure what the award is, but I'll figure something out as we get to it. Ted will let me know. There are a couple of people in the room. When we talk about Wacky, I'm not sure about KLO. I was never there, but I heard everybody there. And I'll tell you one thing. When I first came to town and heard WKLO, I thought to myself, man, that's going to be a tough nut to crack. That's a hell of a radio station. And I was hired by Bob Todd. And I'll tell you, Bob was just amazing. Bob and Al, could you guys stand up? These are the guys who actually started this whole thing. There's Bob over there. And Al Smith. I mean, these guys, yeah. When they came in and they got me, I was in Memphis, Tennessee at Plow Incorporated. Anybody ever worked for Plow? then you know. I used to have to go stand in the bathroom waiting for my shift to end as far as my production shift after I did my show. And Bob Todd and Dude Walker came to town and said, you want to come to Wacky? And I thought, yeah, because, you know, I'm standing in here and I'm listening to people, you know, I'm like, God, I'm going to get out of here. So when I tell the manager, I said, you know, I'm going to Wacky. He says, you know, Gary, that's the the world. I said, man, I've been hearing it. To the world at WMPS in Memphis. I want to go see him. So I came up, and I'll tell you, I couldn't believe the way these guys treated radio personalities. They acted like, actually, we were real people. We weren't people to hide away. And it was a fun thing to get into. And then I meet these guys, and then I'll give you a little hint as to how Johnny got his job, as at least the... And there may be some disputes on how this happened, but I was there. Mason Lee knows it. I know it. Bob Moody's heard the story, you know, many times, so he knows that I never lie. There was Johnny Randolph. Bob Todd left. I think he was pregnant, and he went out. And Bob Todd leaves, and so he's looking for another program director. We knew we had a great radio station. We had to have a good radio station to go opposite KLO, right? So Bob leaves. So the natural idea for us was Johnny Randolph would be the program director because we knew that Johnny wouldn't break what wasn't broken. And, of course, Al wasn't sure too sure about that. He's the same guy that when Johnny Walker, the greatest disc jockey that was ever at in Baltimore, came to Al Smith and said, I want to do mornings. I heard the story today. Al said, you'll never make it in radio in the morning. Get out. So, anyway, so Johnny... we're pushing, but remember that meeting in the we're pushing for Johnny to be the program director, and Al's just kind of, I don't know. So I remember standing up and saying, tell you what, I'm headed to Kuntz's. I'm going to sit over there until Johnny Randolph is a PD of this station. I'm going to sit there if it takes me a year or two. Of course, Mason Lee, he's ready to join any rebellion. He didn't know what the hell I was even talking about. Mason Lee jumps up, by God, I'm with you. And everybody else, we go over to the station. Al is kind of like, you. So we go over, and we're waiting for, as we talked about, the white smoke to go up, you know, to let us know who was the program director of Wacky. And every time a salesman would walk in, I'm not sure who was there with us, but it was like, hey, you guys, get us a drink, damn it. And they'd buy us a drink at Kuntz & Dutchman, right down from Wacky. Finally, the white smoke did go up, and Johnny Randolph was the program director of the station. And it was the most brilliant move that Al Smith ever made. And so as Johnny comes in, we didn't know exactly what kind of a program director Johnny would be. We knew he would be okay, not push us too hard. But he knew about all of the egos on the station. And, you know, it takes a great PD to know that and not to, you know, come in and say, here's what we're going to do now, new format. Everybody starts saying, let me see, E. Alvin Davis. You know, you know. So, but E. Alvin's fine where he is. But if E. Alvin had come into Wacky, you know, that kind of a PD doing his own thing, it would have died. So Johnny knew what to do. For instance, Lynn King used to try to crack up Lynn King on the air. How far can you go with Johnny? I didn't know. And I mean, how crazy can we be? And I'm walking by. Lynn's about to do the news. We're always trying to get Lynn. I walked by. I had a big good hawker up here, and I looked at the news window, and I go. And it was beautiful. And it starts down the window. And Lynn looks at me and goes, here it is. Okay, you're next. So it's still there. It's still, we saw it today, by the way. It's still there. The hawker's still there. It's a nail. It really was. So Lynn After the newscast, I play a record, and just as I come back from the break of the record, Lynn runs in the control room, and he lays a napkin with a turd in it. And so I'm going, that was, oh, turd. Let me know, hey. Because you couldn't say turd back in those. Still can't now, by the way. So, during the next record, I grabbed the turd in the napkin, and I ran back to Randolph's office, and I laid it on his desk. Randolph was having a conference with someone. Oh, it was a priest. I had no idea. He didn't have a collar on. You know, so I said, hey, man, your lunch is here. Bam. And we run out. So Randolph just looks at me, and I think, okay, I'll go back to Lynn. I guess I'll probably have to look for a job now. That was really stupid. Randolph comes out laughing like hell. The priest wasn't. You know, it was okay. So we kind of knew that Johnny was the kind of guy. He was one of us. He always was one of us. And I think that's what it took for him to be the program director that he became. He knew not to break it. He knew how to handle every single person in that station and get the very, very best out of that guy by not hassling him as long as it wasn't Mason Lee. Of course, you got to hassle Mason Lee. He's that kind of guy. You got to every now and then put him in stocks and everybody else come by and whip up on him with a chain. But Johnny was absolutely, and I got to say, I worked for a lot of PDs, one of the finest, I mean, absolute best friends I ever had. We could tell stories later about things that we did with Johnny, but he was absolutely the finest man as a program director I ever, ever worked for, and I am so proud, and I learned so much working for this guy. Johnny Randolph, this award is yours, and what can I say but here.
Come on up.
Come on up, John.
One of my new bosses.
Wait. The station's tuned to KLO. Let me change it. Well, you had to hear the competition, man. You guys were hot.
I don't know what to say. A guy on radio that doesn't know what to say.
Well, it'll come out. Remember the turd?
Yeah. And the priest was the priest. He did have a collar on. You didn't see the collar. You're looking at the turd. Well, I don't think I've ever been so surprised and humbled and certainly never honored so much in my life. Is this? I really mean, even have the microphone we used to use too. Gee. You know the, and Gary said this. A lot of the groundwork was laid by GMs and PDs before me, and that's really started the whole thing. Staff just kind of came together. You know, you folks who came from distances tonight to be here probably don't realize, but like in the past 2 or 3 months, there have been, I think, 3 interview programs, various stations that will call and they will ask about the Louisville radio era. And they will ask about the individual DJs, et cetera, et cetera. And after 25 years, that's really pretty remarkable. And it's something, and I'm sure Gary would say the same thing, it's something that we really never expected. You know, when we left Wacky, it was a case that we shook hands and said, boy, it's been great. Probably be a highlight of our radio careers, and it certainly was. And we never thought that it would end up with, you know, the web page, the reunion, and the whole thing. On these radio shows, people will always ask me, they say, well, explain, we talk about the radio station, the era, and that type of thing. Explain the Wacky thing. Why was it a big success? What was the secret? And it really was no secret at all. Really, 3 very basic things. Number one, I always made sure that everybody on the staff was better than I was on the air.
I had to take much.
You know, didn't take much. But if everybody had been a Johnny Randolph type on Wacky, we wouldn't be here tonight talking about it, that's for sure.
He's right.
So we took that, and we had this this crazy eclectic format that, frankly, I designed for me to carry me, really, if you really want to know the truth of it. But everybody was required to follow the format, and after every break, had to do certain things formatically. Then, after you got that done, then you're free to do your own thing. And that's where everybody did their own thing, and that's where the jocks soared like eagles. And that was the magic of the radio station, where Gary Burbank could be Gary Burbank, Bill Bailey be Bill Bailey, and Jason O'Brien, and on and on and on. I don't want to get into mentioning names. I'll leave somebody out.
I was being Gary Owens.
But that was basically the secret of the whole thing. And allow me, please, to share this with my colleagues, both behind the mic and behind the scenes, because they have always been my radio heroes, always will be. And we mentioned Terrell Matheny, who couldn't be here tonight, knee replacement, but he is one of the heroes of Louisville radio. Those who are graduates of WKLO, if you know, or if you will realize that. So I want to be sure to acknowledge Terrell. But I really appreciate this. This is something I never dreamed of. And you people here tonight, I'm just glad you're here so we can all share this thing together. And again, thank you very much.
Let me say something. I forgot what it was. Oh, no. You know, we should give a shout out and a thank you. WRKA. Anybody listen to the station today and hear? Man! Okay, who does production at RK? Who did that, man? Who did that? Shout it right there. What, and the name is?
Matt Killian.
Matt Killian. Man, how about it for Matt Killian? I heard Dude Walker introducing the Allman Brothers and Ramblin' Man, and it just rocks so much. And I thought, you know, if they could bring us back today, sans wheelchairs, and maybe give us some hair and stuff like that, we could still rock it. I mean, it was just what a great job you guys did. But there was one thing. There was one thing. Now, if you're a wacky guy, if you can, I'll bear with us. But there was one thing that I didn't hear on there, and that was a wacky shout. Everybody remember the wacky shout?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what. Okay. Just so we can hear it one more time, I'm going to count to three, and let's do the wacky shout. See if we can make it sound like it did on Wacky. One, two, three.
Wacky!
Damn, that was good.
What Gary didn't tell you is that how the wacky shout came about. He is one of the voices on it. He, me, Marcia, the receptionist, and Brenda, who was in sales. Remember that? There were four of us. We did it in two takes. The first take, Gary had to take a puff on a cigarette, had a mouthful of smoke, and couldn't do it.
Joint.
Oh, yeah. Of course. Yes, well. I always try to keep my head in the sand. You know, the more I didn't know, the better it was.
Yeah, you were good at that.
Yes, sir. I played that role well. Who gets the mic?
I think John Quincy gets it.
John Quincy, here's our radio hero.
Before you leave, we'd like for you to read the inscription we have here, okay?
I guess be polite if I turn around and turn. What? Presented to Johnny Randolph, Louisville's all-time greatest program chair. Jeez. From your friends at Wacky and WKLO, August 5th, 2006. Gee.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, John. Now, we don't want Gary Burbank to have all the fun. Is there anybody else that would like to say something about our guest of honor tonight?
I don't know if I'm allowed to speak, but I'm going to speak anyway.
You're not.
But it's sort of tough for me, honestly, but I saw where this is advertised on Frankfort Avenue and Bardstown Road and a lot of places, and I was afraid my brother wouldn't get mentioned tonight, but he was Trig Black. And he passed away about, I don't know, 9 or 10 years ago from a stroke. And all he tried to do in Louisville, Kentucky, and growing up in Oldham County, was make sure kids and everybody growing up in this area had a good time. He had the Ramblin' Raft races on the Ohio River. He brought Muhammad Ali here to Louisville when he was Bill King. He loved wacky radio. Now, my mother passed away 3 weeks ago. And my sister Barbara's here, but if you knew Trigg, my mother said, John, don't tell everybody he's your brother. But, and, you know, he was a promoter. And I wanted to come here tonight just because are you a Gary Burbank or Johnny Randolph? I remember him and
I'm a Trigg Black production.
But anyway, I know Trigg was very good friends with Bill Bailey, who always remember as the Duke of Louisville. Is he here tonight?
He's on his way.
He's out at Friendship Manor in Oldham County where we live. He's in the, I think, the nursing home, but I tell you, Trigg loved wacky radio, and he had the Groove Inn in St. Matthews that a lot of people grew up there, and I remember a band there one night called Tom Dooley and the Love Lights. They had two drummers, you know, the Magnificent Seven. I tell you what, I'm not going to take up a lot of your time, but someone brought a sign by my house the other night, left it in front of a tree out front, and Trigg had a dance. He had dances going all over Kentucky, but he had the Oldham County Happening. It was in LaGrange, Kentucky, and we would pack that place every Saturday night with kids, and I sold Cokes there. But for you wacky radio guys who were the DJs, I know he was you couldn't hardly restrain him, but he was something else if you remember him. So,
thank you very much. Tom Prestigiacomo, thank you for being with us. Give him a round of applause. There's not a person in this business. Johnny, you want to talk about Trigg Black?
Well, I'll say two things about Trigg Black. Number one, he always paid in cash. And number two, he could talk a starving dog off a meat wagon. I'm telling you, what a guy. Only one.
I have only a short thing to say. There's a lot of things I could say, but I think that the statute of limitations. I'm sorry, I'll do that next. I'm Tom Prestigiacomo. I grew up hanging around Wacky Radio in 1968 through 1979 is when I worked there. 78 and 79. Somewhere out there is John W. Dude Walker, who used to do Help the Dude, Help St. Jude. It was John Walker who let me in the door. Stand up, John. Come on. What's really fun is that. While we talk about Louisville radio, there's a Memphis connection. Dude Walker was from Memphis. Gary Burbank is a Memphis boy who worked as Johnny Apollo out of production. Come on up here. Come on. I would have never been able to do what I do for a living had it not been for this gentleman who opened the door and introduced me to everybody. I'd love to say that I wrote comedy for Gary Burbank. He'll be glad to give you a disclaimer on that. But there was a time that I hung out in the lobby at Wacky, and I went up to Johnny Randolph and I said, when I grow up, I want to be in radio. And he said, Giacomo, you can't do both. You cannot grow up and you cannot be in radio. My employment at Wacky was very short, from the summer of 1978 through the summer of 1979. Gary Guthrie brought me on board at Wacky Radio. Johnny was long gone. And when Gary Guthrie moved to Memphis, Tennessee, Mike McVeigh came in. Where are you, Mike? I know you're here somewhere. All the way in the back. He's somewhere here. Anyway, we made it through the summer of 79. I went to FM 100, WMC-FM Memphis, and I've been there. I do the afternoon show still. I've been there for 27 years. What I have learned in our business is to enjoy it while you have it, because there are no winners in radio. There are only survivors, and survivors are winners in this business. Congratulations to everybody who made it through Wacky. Johnny, you want to say something? Your turn.
Thank you, Tom. Tom is my wife's favorite disc jockey. She listens to him every afternoon. Anybody with a name like Prestigiacomo who can be successful in Memphis can be successful anywhere. I would like to say this about Johnny Randolph. One of the things that I think made Wacky as great as it was the fact that he was not only a boss, but he was our friend as well. And we got along with him. He partied with us. We partied with him. It was just terrific. Another thing, too, this is not a funny part, and I was never a funny person on the air, because when you go after Burbank and before Burbank and after Bailey, you can't be funny, you know? So, but Johnny knew his disc jockey so well that one night I was on the air, and they called me and told me that my wife had had a miscarriage. And so I was getting ready to call him, and he walked through the door, and he said, "What's wrong?" And I said, "My wife just had a miscarriage." I said, "How'd you know something was wrong?" He said, "I could tell by your voice on the air." He said, "Go to the hospital and I'll do your show." So that's the kind of person he was. That's how well he knew his disc jockeys. Just by me being on the air and the change in the voice, he could tell that something serious had happened, and he was there on the spot. He's always been on the spot. My wife and I love him. He's the greatest guy in the world, and I'm honored and privileged to have had the opportunity to work for him. Excuse me, I get choked up when I think about the story, because we lost two children while we were in Louisville. But Johnny Randolph has always been a great guy, a great friend, and a great guy to work for. And I thank God that I had the opportunity to work for him. So congratulations, Johnny. You're the greatest.
Tom wanted me to get up. I think I'll make this quick. I'm Bill Purdom. I was here from 76 through 82. Everybody in this room shares the feeling that I've been talking to people about all night tonight. That moment when you got that phone call from Johnny Randolph that says, "I've got a job for you." Anybody know that feeling? I do, and it's the best feeling I've ever had in my life. I want to thank you for that, John. Thank you very much. That's it. Next. Another giant Aquarian weekend. Here we go.
John Randolph. Love, John. That's all I can say. John and I had a great time together. Tremendous brainstorming sessions. I lost. John won. Radio went on to become something other than I wanted radio drama. I wanted naked women dancing in the control rooms and things like that.
But you had them in the control room.
Well, you're not supposed to know that. John used to terrify me when he couldn't get me to do the format any other way. He'd bring all his wrestling buddies in after a thing at night, and I'd be sitting in there, and here comes John and all these drunken wrestlers, and they fill up the control room. These guys are huge. A Haystack Muldoon, what was Calhoun? Haystack, and Gorgeous George, and the Oriental guy that. Tojo Yamamoto, my favorite. They used to crowd into the control room with Johnny Randolph and intimidate the hell out of me at 2 o'clock in the morning.
I had to do something.
There it was, John. That's you won't find that in any other radio station across the country. You won't. You never. This is why the job was such a killer. Because after I walked out of there and went to St. Louis, it was corporate structure bullshit. Corporate structure bullshit. And I said, "Wait a minute, I don't speak this language." Then I went to California, went to Berkeley, California, went to KPFA, the most radical radio station on the face of the earth, Pacifica Foundation radio station, corporate bullshit, different kind of corporate bullshit. So I came back to Louisville. That's how I ended up on KLO. That was the death of radio, that corporate bullshit. Johnny Randolph put personalities who could communicate. Remember, folks, radio was about talking, you know, was about creative communication with other people. That's what it's still about today. They just don't know it, John. And what can I tell you? But I love this guy. This guy encouraged me to be who I am today. Believe it or not, he's responsible. So later.
Mason Lee. Oh, can we stop now? Oh, no.
Okay, well, what can we say? I remember when I finally accepted the job to come to Wacky back in September of 1973. I was on the phone with John. He goes, "Hey, I tell you what I'm going to do." He said, I will pay for your move. I get a mover to come by your house, and we'll take care of all of that." And I said, "Mover?" I said, "What are you talking about? Mover?" He said, "Yeah, I mean, you know, you have things, and then we'll take care of the move. You come to town, and all of a sudden we'll put you up in the hotel." And a couple days later, you know, when they bring all your stuff to town, you can get a department or whatever. And
And I said, hey, dude, I said, I hate to tell you this. You're talking to a guy right here that has three pair of underwear, three pair of socks, two pairs of Levi's, and five T-shirts. I could be packed and on the road in 5 minutes. And I was. And the first person I saw when I came to Louisville was Carl Shannon, beating on the door at 5 in the morning. Yeah, so anyway, but I think what I really want to say about Johnny is, you know, it could really mean a lot in one's career if you ever want to go into a management position to be able to work for someone who does things the right way. And what I mean by that is, like, you know, I've seen some guys that have worked for program directors that, you know, just weren't very nice guys. So what do? When they ended up being able to get elevated to that eminent position, well, they did business just like the people they had the tutelage from. So I'm saying is one of the reasons that I've had the success I've had at AMZ now for the last 26 and a half years is because all the things that Johnny Randolph taught me when I was a jock working for him, and I've tried and not always succeeded, but I have tried to, I guess, evolve into my way of management thinking. And I think that more than anything else, that treating people right and treating people right. I think more than anything else. What can I say to that? Johnny Randolph knew how to treat people. If you follow that rule, treat people well, get along with people, you do your job, then you're going to be in great shape. But I would not have had anywhere the kind of success I've had today if it wasn't for my mentor, Johnny Randolph.
Hi, my name is Tim Tyler, and I wanted to just comment a minute or two about John. We were friends, and I think this speaks well for the community that we all grew up in, because we were friends when he was at KLO and I was at WACI, and we were competitors, but yet we still had friendship, and it was a camaraderie that was within our business, particularly on the jock side. It wasn't quite that way in the sales side, I later learned. And I wanted to personally take credit for John being where he is, because it was when I saw at WACI, I saw the sales guys driving nicer cars than we disc jockeys at that time. And I said, hey, Can I get into this? And so I decided to go into sales, and Johnny Randolph was hired the next day. And I'll take full credit.
All right.
Thank you for your friendship.
Hey, thank you for quitting.
Thank you. Hello. I was not an employee at WACI. I was born in 1976. My parents say that you're great. I don't know. I don't know what that's worth, but they say. I was born in Lebanon in Marion County, and I'm a recent graduate of the Columbia Journalism School, and I'm on contract to write a book about the outlaw history of Marion County. Club 68, which I hear Club 68 and WACI Radio were like a two-headed monster joined at the hip. Golden Horseshoe, and Hyleem George. Any dirt on Hyleem, I would love. That'd be great. There's none? Yeah.
It won't faze you no matter what you say about him anyway.
Well, he's dead now, so of course not.
Obviously it's not going to faze him, like I said.
So anyway, I'll be around. If anyone wants to come and talk to me about Club 68 and we can trade email addresses or whatever, I'd love that. Appreciate it. Thanks.
They also pay cash. Real nice. Carl Shannon.
Hello, buddy.
You were in Lebanon. What year were you born?
1976.
76. You were down there a few nights.
Oh, yeah.
Golden Horseshoe. I'm Carl Shannon. I had the pleasure of working for John twice, actually. He hired me. I was working full-time at Wynn, a country station in town, and he hired me part-time to work on the weekend. I was Carl Shannon at Wynn. I was Chris Shannon at WACI. And then for about 6 months, I did like 7 to midnight at Wynn and then did all nights at WACI, and Bailey was always late. And I told John one day, I said, John, I said, he's got to get here on time. And so Bailey cussed me out on the air the next morning after John addressed him. But John is the best guy I've ever worked for, and I've been in radio 30-something years now. And he's just a class act. And I, when I came back from Charlotte, North Carolina, I was working at KLO on the weekend, and he stops by one Saturday night and said, "Why don't you come back across the street?" And I had just been paid through that shift, so I typed a letter of resignation and slid it under Robin Walker's door and didn't see him until the reunion last year. So I started at Wacky the next weekend. But I was like 20 years old when I started there, and he would tell you, and listening back is like, how did he hire me? You know, I was horrible. But he would tell you things like, you know, what you're doing sounds pretty good, but it'd probably sound a lot better if you did it like this. Basically, what he was saying, don't do that again, you know, do it this way. But it sunk in, and so that's one thing that you told me that I've told, I don't know how many people, you know, that have worked under me and stuff, that, you know, what you're doing sounds good, just diplomacy. And he's just a class act. He's a great guy, and I love him to death.
Not one mention of the Oldham County Fair. I don't know how that happened.
Oh, boy.
Is there anybody else that would like to say anything? In that case, we got one more? John Quincy, where are you? I'm going to turn it back over to you and let you close this thing up.
How about it for John Quincy?
How about it for John Quincy?
Thank you so much. Appreciate you guys coming out here and being part of this, and thank you so much, everybody, for your support of 79 WAKY and 1080WKLO.com. A lot of folks have said, John, you're doing a great job with those websites, and I always say they wouldn't be 1/20th as good without your support, because you guys have supplied the air checks, the photos, the DJ information, so those sites would not be anything close to the way they are right now without you guys helping out. So I really appreciate your support and keeping the memory of those two Louisville legends alive forever and ever, as long as the internet lasts anyway. Since the last time that we did this, we lost three members of our family that I know of. Three members of our family. So we can't leave without doing something a little special for B.J. Colty, Scott Thompson, and Dickie Braun. So I'd just like to have a moment of silence to remember these former Wacky and KLO people. Thank you. Thank you very much. Here's what's coming up. If you haven't seen the items in the other room, the silent auction, especially those really cool Johnny Randolph gold records and the portraits from Bill Bailey and all the other stuff, we can bid on that, so feel free to do that. All the money raised goes to Big Brothers and Big Sisters. Getting ready to have a concert from the Monarchs, and here's what we'd like to do. Before the Monarchs' first set, which will be about a half hour from right now, we'd like to have all the WKLO on-air people, whether you were a disc jockey or a news person, we'd like to formally introduce you to the general public before the first Monarch set, and then later, before the second Monarch set, we'd like to formally introduce all the Wacky on-air people, okay? So you'll be hearing an announcement about that, so we appreciate your participation. It's purely optional, but the people that are paying the good money to come see you guys, I think it would be kind of cool if they got a chance to see their legends, the people that they grew up with. Also, you've noticed probably the video cameras, a professional photographer. We'd like to thank the Louisville Sun for doing that. The Louisville Sun, we appreciate their support. We hope to have a DVD, and of course, the photos will appear online at 79 WAKY and 1080 WKLO. And now, let's party! Oh, I'm sorry. We have one more thing to play. I forgot all about this. There's a guy who could not be here that wanted to say something to Johnny Randolph.
Big Swinger, the Mighty Mitch.
WKLO here in Louisville.
This is Terrell Matheny. Johnny Randolph, the great old comedian Georgie Jessel, used to tell a story. He'd pick up the telephone and call his mom and say, "Hey, Mama, I'm a sea captain. I just went down to the uniform company, and I bought myself a sea captain's uniform. I have the braid on my hat. I have a stripe on my pants. I have boards on my shoulder, and I have a bright, shiny sword. And I am a sea captain." Mama said, "Georgie, to me you're a sea captain. To you, you're a sea captain. But to a sea captain, are you a sea captain?" Johnny Randolph, to this old program director, you, my friend, are an excellent program director. Congratulations, and God bless.
Big Swinger, the Mighty Mitch.
us.
WKLO here in Louisville.
This is Terrell Matheny. Johnny Randolph.
Okay, somebody hit the card again.
Comedian Georgie Jessel used to tell.
I hate when those carts don't queue up, don't you? All right, once again, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for coming here, and have a good time. We'll be here till midnight.